Good morning, or afternoon, sorry, force of habit. Good afternoon, and welcome into Hate the Player, Not the Game. As always, I am Lucas Owens, a little different time now at 2 p.m. Got the afternoon. I'm not going to be half asleep anymore. No, I just got schedule problems there, but yeah, it's nice to be back in studio, back from California, had a nice relaxing break, and back to give more of my terrible takes. So, starting with terrible takes, we got a lot to talk about today. I'm going to discuss some college football recaps, or mainly what's going on in the college football world right now. Because if you, I mean, I would assume if you think there's nothing going on, you have your head under a rock. Because there's a lot going on right now in college football. Then we're going to discuss the NBA, some ceiling signs, MLB free agency, and some San Jose Sharks complaining minutes are usually bringing that back from a while ago last year. The complaining minute's actually going to turn into the happy minute this time. But let's get started with some Pac-12 talk. So, big news last night. Larry Scott officially is going to be leaving the Pac-12 as commissioner in June, which is something I think a lot of people were very excited about, because I think it was pretty clear the conference needed new leadership right now, just because they've kind of, they had a good start under Scott, and then they, you know, grinded to a halt, and now their revenue's behind the Big Ten and the SEC, so not the best thing for the Pac-12 there. But so, yeah, so Larry Scott is gone. Pretty important that they do it now, though, because they're actually going to negotiate media rights pretty soon. So that'll be very interesting to see. 11 years, though, of Pat Larry Scott, and now it is over. Yeah, they're, he said in an interview with the Associated Press that the conference was craving different, more media exposure, more commercial success where it's possible, and innovative and different ways to promote it, promote the conference. All things I feel I've done before. But really, if you see this, the Pac-12 has kind of been sputtering in terms of the media landscape the past few years. So I think it was the best move for both parties to move on. And obviously, they both agreed to it. So, you, I mean, now you got to go through the process of finding a new commissioner, though. Something I'm sure that's going to take a long time, knowing how things work in the Pac-12. But, you know, hopefully they get that done and finish it. And, I mean, the media contract's up in 2024. And you think about timelines, they're going to have to sign that deal pretty soon. Yeah, got to worry about the Pac-12 network. Got to worry about other stuff, too. So it'll be interesting to see what happens there. Pretty breaking news, actually, from 2 hours ago, not even on my script. The Tennessee Volunteers are naming UCF's Danny White as their new AD. So, of course, yet another AD who promises everything to their small school has left for greener pastures, specifically Knoxville, Tennessee, to be used as a sacrificial lamb, because the Tennessee Volunteers just got rid of everybody. They got rid of Fulmer, got rid of Pruitt, and looking to rebound off of that. This is going to be a long rebuild process, though, for Tennessee, because, man, Tennessee is in ruins right now. Obviously, not the best look when you're alleged to have given recruits money through McDonald's bags. I'm loving it. Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what happens there, who he hires, obviously. It's good that they hired hired somebody, because they don't have a football coach either yet. So holding to hire a football coach, I'm sure their careers will be linked at Tennessee. But, man, Tennessee, I just don't know what happens here. I think I'll probably spend most of the rest of the time talking about this. But Tennessee is in such a weird position, because, I mean, if you look at Pruitt's trajectory, you had year one, pretty bad. Year two, lost to Georgia State immediately, but kind of rebounded towards the second half of the season. People got their hopes up. People thought Tennessee was legitimately going to be good this year, and they were good for about two games, one of which was a pretty bad beatdown of Mizzou. But then after that, if you look at what Jeremy Pruitt did, it was sputter and hit the ground. And then, so you look at that, you look that they just gave him like a five-year extension or something, which is a lot of money. I don't think it's any wonder, I don't want to be too speculative, that they started getting a lot of complaints about football recruiting and violations there, because he got fired without for cause, which means they don't owe him any money, which is what they want. But I think they didn't want him from a football side, and using having football recruiting violations and stuff going on from that end. Definitely, I mean, it does help, but I do think they looked a lot more into it, but to not pay that buyout. So Tennessee just has a long rebuilding project. There's like four big Vaughn Tennessee players that have transferred out. I know Henry Totoa, Eric Gray, Kovaris Crouch, and Jameer Johnson have all entered the portal, and they're all big players, and they will all get spots on teams. They are, you know, very good, very good football players. So, I mean, right now, Tennessee just has a hard job search coming up. I mean, yeah, if you look at the amount of people on the that could take this job, I think this is going to end up being Kevin Steele, because he's their defensive coordinator now. He was at Auburn. He was rumored for a long time to get the Auburn job, kind of backstabbed Gus Malzahn to get it. And now he's the defensive coordinator at Tennessee. Might get the chance here, but I wouldn't be surprised if whoever comes in just immediately cuts him off. But Tennessee is just in a really, really bad situation right now. I mean, if you look at the people they could hire, I don't know, Jamie Chadwell from Coastal Carolina, Gus Malzahn, who I think most Tennessee fans would like because he actually beats Alabama every so often. They'd have to structure that to make Auburn pay most of that buyout. You, of course, got Billy Napier. So there's options still on the board, but the timing of this is just so terrible that it doesn't put them in a big spot. And I think you're going to have a lot of recruits asked to be released from their national letters of intent. And that's going to cause a pretty big exodus. We see that a lot. We see that happen a lot when programs come under fire like this, specifically. Recent memory, everybody remembers what happened with Ole Miss after that investigation and Hugh Freeze got fired. Fun fact, Hugh Freeze in the consideration for the Tennessee job. But I don't want to spend all the time on that because actually something that also happened today, just a few hours ago, Mizzou hired former Arizona Cardinals coach Steve Wilks as their defensive coordinator. So, you know, that's a pretty good hire. I like that hire a lot. He has a long career in the NFL. He obviously coached the Cardinals for a bit. He was a good defensive coordinator for a while. And you look at somebody that's definitely going to help with recruiting and is going to help with the X and O's. Hopefully he can recruit well because he hasn't recruited in a long time. Looks like this. He spent the 2002 season as East Tennessee State's coordinator. But except for that, he hasn't spent much time in the college game, which is very different. I think that's a great hire. It should hit the ground running and get things going well. Except for that, I mean, there are rumors, of course, that more stuff is going to come now because of the stuff going on at Tennessee, like specifically more violations at Tennessee and maybe even more violations with other SEC East teams. So don't be surprised if anything comes out of that. But except for that, that's all I have for college football. After the break, let's look into some NBA talk. Specifically, my Golden State Warriors, who are off to way better of a start than I could have ever hoped for. Thank you for listening to Hate the Player, Not the Game. All right, welcome back to Hate the Player, Not the Game after that weird break. Let's talk about the NBA. So the season has been starting. Of course, the big thing right now is a lot of games are getting canceled because of COVID. They got the no-hug rule now, though, so everything's fixed. So teams are just getting sidelined for a while now instead of, you know, on a team game-by-game basis, which I think is smart. But I think more teams should be a lot more careful. And I think the NBA, you know, it's going to take a long time for this all to get figured out. Honestly, the way infections are getting spread, things are all going to get infected at some point because, you know, the NBA is kind of just going on. They're not stopping. And basketball more than any other sport relies on close contact that needs that. But still got a lot to talk about. So let's talk about the Golden State Warriors. Well, my hometown team off to an 8-6 start, which is somehow only good enough for fourth in the Pacific Division. They got a game against the Knicks tonight, actually. That should be a fun one, rolling off of a big, big win against the Spurs. Now they're playing the Knicks again in San Francisco. They're actually, even though they're playing in San Francisco, this is the first night they're rolling out the Oakland court, which I still find a little off. But, you know, it looks, you know, going back to that We Believe era, never is a bad thing. But, really, what I think you're seeing with the Warriors is that the reason they were so bad last year was because all of their good players were hurt. Because right now you got Steph Curry producing 28 points a game. You got Draymond, who's being Draymond. You have Eric Paschal, who's been surprisingly good lately. And then you got James Wiseman, who people keep getting on for some reason. Like, James Wiseman, people need to realize, played 3 games in college and is still a rookie. And playing 3 games in college, he's not really even playing that many minutes, to be honest. I mean, 25 minutes a game. And he has about 12 points a game on a 50% field goal percentage. I don't know what you expect for a rookie. He's going to keep getting better. And that's what the Warriors really just need from him. And once he keeps getting better, things will start falling. Really, though, I think the Warriors, if you look, I think the Warriors, when you see how good they're being right now, you got to look at guys like Andrew Wiggins, which I still laugh at myself because this is a thing. But Andrew Wiggins, I mean, he's averaging 18 points a game, pretty good, 40% field goal, 3-point percentage, 45% field goal percentage. But well, you got to look with Andrew Wiggins. You have to actually watch him play because he is one of the best defenders in the league this season somehow. He is a fantastic defender. He's actually showing a lot of heart, which is really – Andrew Wiggins, the whole problem with him a lot of people had for a while was the lack of effort, but now he's showing a lot of it. He's really thriving in the system. That's always good to see. Great seeing Kent Bazemore back as a Warrior. You know, he's having an all right season coming off the bench, of course, so he's not going to get that good of that much time. But Damian Lee's also doing pretty good this year. So this team, they kind of got the problem for a little bit was they were getting their core was getting old, and now they're very young again. But you also have Steph Curry and Draymond leading everybody. And then you have, except for that, everybody is, like, stupidly young. I mean, you got Kent Bazemore at 31 And Clay, of course, is hurt. But except for that, you got a lot of players that are like 26, 27 and under, which is what you want to see for a team when you think they can develop more. But outside of the Warriors, we got the Brooklyn Nets basketball team who just had that. Can I just say that Cavs-Nets game yesterday was one of the best games of the season. Colin Sexton and Darius Garland are, as you may know them by their nickname, Sexland. They had a pretty good game, specifically Sexton, considering he scored as much as the Nets did in overtime. So, really, the Nets are a good team. But that game was just, you know, every once in a while you're going to face a team that's have their best game. But the Nets have been playing good. I like Harden's fit. The more that I feel about, people kept thinking because of how he was acting he wasn't a top five player, off at least offensively, in the game anymore. And they're quickly being proven wrong. And I don't think 1-2 overtime loss against the Cavaliers proves that any different. So they're going to be playing the Cavs tomorrow night again. So hopefully that ends up being different. Still find it funny, though, that they got beat by, you know, the mythical next pick, which ended up being Colin Sexton. So, let's go back to the Western Conference. How about we? And let's look at the New Orleans Pelicans, because this is really just a very weird team this year. I mean, I hate using weird because I use weird all the time, but this is just a weird team. I mean, you got Zion playing good. Brandon Ingram's playing good. I think he's just a slight bit off of last season. And then outside of that, they're just not a lot of scoring there, which is a problem. And the defense isn't the best either. But, I mean, you just look at it, and they're just not winning games, which is a problem, which means they're not playing good enough defense. Because, I mean, they have some good wins. They played good to start the season and then stop. But, I mean, they've played some games that they've needed to win. Like, they shouldn't have lost to Oklahoma City. Of course, they only lost by one. Shouldn't have lost to Charlotte. They are playing tonight against the Utah Jazz. So that should be an interesting game. But still, New Orleans kind of worries me at this point in the season. They should really be playing a lot better than they have been. Specifically looking into getting more points out of Eric Bledsoe and Alexander Walker, I think, should be. J.J. Redick could also be producing more with the amount of minutes he has. But, I mean, that's neither here nor there. They just need to play better defense and be more efficient, to be honest, because that is not an efficient team right now, unless you're Zion, because Zion has, if there's one very good silver lining for the Pelicans, it is that Zion looks electric as all hell to start this year. Now, moving on to a team that I think everybody knew was going to be good to start the season, the Phoenix Suns, who just came off a beating of the Houston Rockets in Houston for Tita's boys, if you may say. But, this team has looked really complete this year. Turns out, I mean, you saw this last year where you saw a lot of players on that team take next steps once they got in a good point guard in Ricky Rubio. And now, this year, you have Chris Paul instead of Ricky Rubio. Which, Ricky Rubio, at this point in his career, is still a good player. He's getting up there in age, but he is still a very productive point guard. And then you have Chris Paul, who I think is still a star in this league. He's not producing the most points this year, but obviously it doesn't matter because the Suns are 8-5. Really, this is just the Suns finally aging up to where I think they should have been. And Chris Paul has definitely helped that transformation. I think he's helping. I think he's definitely helping Booker and Aiden specifically. So, I mean, this Suns team is just very fun to watch, which you always like to see. But outside of that, they have a game against Denver tomorrow and Saturday. So that should be interesting to see. And, you know, they just got to keep winning. I mean, after the bubble, I think everybody expected them to keep being good, but especially now, look really good right now. All right, let's see. Who else was I going to talk about? The Cleveland Cavaliers. Oh, boy. Just talked about them a little bit. 7-7 right now, which is good for 6 in the Eastern Conference. Says something about the state of the Eastern Conference right now with the Raptors and Heat not exactly being where they should be. But, yeah, they got a few games postponed. They have had a few bad losses, specifically 2 straight losses to the Magic by a lot. But what Cleveland has is, I think adding Jared Allen was a great move for them. Because, I mean, they had to give up Dante Exum in, like, a pick. But for Jared Allen, I think that's a great move. Because Jared Allen is a fantastic big man. I think he was the best big man on the Nets, in my opinion. So, I think that's a great addition. Now, you're building for the future. Because you have Jared Allen's control for a bit. You can maybe trade Drummond for a piece. But you also have Colin Sexton and Darius Garland. And then, of course, like I said before, Andre Drummond, you got Kevin Love, you got all of the pieces. You got Larry Nance, who's having a little bit of an under-the-radar year. Of course, you got Torian Prince is now on the Cavaliers. How do I keep forgetting that? Chetty Osman. They kind of finally have a deep enough team to really do stuff. And, I mean, even looking towards the future, you got Isaac Okoro. And like I said, Darius Garland and Colin Sexton, who are going to keep being good. So, but that is all I have for looking in the general direction of the NBA, as I am running up on the time I should have had for this segment. So, thank you for listening. After the break and some gorillas, let's talk about MLB ceiling signs. This message is for... Welcome back to Hate the Player, Not the Game. Of course, what I specialize in, talking BS about baseball. It's time to talk some more nonsense about baseball. As, you know, things are happening a lot right now in the baseball offseason for once, because this offseason has been ridiculously slow. I mean, the best player on the market, I think in a lot of people's opinion, is Trevor Bauer. He's still on the market. I mean, I have some problems with him recently, but he's a great player, and I really don't see how he hasn't gotten signed yet. So, I mean, but, you know, the offseason has been weird. There hasn't been very many buyers at all. I mean, really, we said the Yankees get Corey Kluber and a few other people. Saw the Blue Jays get George Springer and Kirby Yates and try to make a run for Michael Brantley, but ultimately ended up not getting him. And, you know, there just hasn't been a lot happening, you know? I mean, you've had a few movements. Like, I have Brantley didn't go to Toronto. Ken Giles went to Toronto. Alex Wood to San Francisco. That's a big one. But you have players like Trevor Bauer, who... everybody agrees it's the best free agent this year. JT Realmuto, still not signed at all. And Marcell Ozuna, Nelson Cruz, Justin Turner, Marcus Semien, Jackie Bradley Jr., James Paxton, Masahiro Tanaka, Jake Odorizzi, Trevor Rosenthal, Garrett Richards, and, you know, Jock Peterson. And Kike Hernandez, actually. So, there's still a lot of players unsigned, and I think it's just going to take long. I think we're starting to see things now because the outline of what the season is going to be is going to be a lot more clear coming up. I think it's pretty clear now that they're going to try to play a full season, but, you know, things are just taking a while. Teams aren't really sure about their finances. I mean, if you look at one team who I think would be a good look-in for a lot of these pitchers in the Giants, they, you know, my Giants, you know, wearing the Giants hat right now. I think there's just a problem there, and the money of it because the Giants are kind of 1 year off of getting contracts off the books. Then you look at other teams and they just, I mean, teams don't want to spend money right now. And it's going to take a while for them to spend money. And it's not going to be that much money. So I think we're going to be seeing a lot of very short deals. I mean, thinking about George Springer, he got paid in the $150 million, I believe. Need to check that right now. But still, that is a 6-year, $150 million deal. That's a big deal. That's the second, that's like one of the biggest deals the Blue Jays have ever done. But that's the biggest deal so far this offseason. And, you know, that's saying something because not a lot of other deals have happened. I mean, DJ LeMay, he's gone signed. Corey Kluber has gone signed. You've had trades happen, like Yu Darvish, Blake Snell, players like that, big players, both to the Padres, by the way. The Padres are looking very good. But except for that, not much is happening. And it's a little frustrating, but, I mean, it's just kind of the way baseball is this year. It's going to be very slow moving. That's just the way it is this year for some reason. And it continues to be slow moving. I mean, if you look at it, pitchers and catchers report in less than a month. And there is a very good chance that Trevor Bauer is not signed by the time pitchers and catchers report. Excuse me. And I think that really says something about how bad this is. So I'm not one to speculate and say what's right for the MLBPA and the MLB as a whole. What I'm thinking, though, is I think a lot of these problems, because you got a lot of teams that just don't want to spend at all. You got teams like Cleveland, who actually I forgot to say are changing their name now. Good for them. Cleveland, you got Pittsburgh. You got the entire NL Central basically has decided to all rebuild at one time and not spend money at one time. And so you have players like that. Yadier Molina isn't signed either. Neither is Hoang Vuong. Now, I'm just thinking of that right now. You had a few players from the Cubs signed to the Nationals a few days ago. And Schwarber and John Lester. Why are the Nationals poaching players from the Cubs? And why are teams being this restrictive with their cash flow? Because, I mean, I think it says something. When I kind of talked about it when there were arguments going on between the MLBPA and the owners last year. Maybe there are a lot of cash flow problems with the owners. That's what it seemed like because they're having tight strings on their purse strings right now, and it's really affecting the free agency market. Things are moving slow. I mean, when James McCann's $41 million deals is in the top 10 deals, I think this year. And he's on to the Mets. It really says something. But outside of all of the moves happening, there was also, sadly, a big story that broke just a few days ago about the Mets GM, Jared Porter, who was getting a lot of praise for the moves he was making, actually getting caught sending lewd images to a female reporter from another country who did not want to be named or even location. They didn't want even her country of origin known. It's really, I mean, it's like the thing where, like, you can't say this is in America if something, like, a bad thing happens every 5 months and you show that. I think it's hard for sports to keep saying this isn't what sports is when it feels like we were just getting off what happened with Washington and where that, well, everything from that got exposed, and it was a big thing, and then it kind of subsided, and now we have this, and it feels like things just keep adding on, and at what point do we say it's enough, and there just needs to be some action, and women in sports have long been an issue I have cared about a lot, dating back to an event that happened in high school that I don't really want to talk about too much, but really just is sad to see something like that happen. Luckily, he is fired. But you talk about it, and you talk with the GM of the Mets, and he says, oh, we didn't catch this because we didn't have any woman interviewing him, because there weren't any woman in the pro, in the franchise. And you just look up from a top to bottom issue, there needs to be a lot of problems fixed in baseball, and a lot of problems fixed in all sports. And things are happening, things are moving slow. You had things like Sarah Fuller kick in the game for Vanderbilt last year. You had Alyssa Knockin become the first coach to ever coach on field that's a woman in an MLB game for the San Francisco Giants last year, something I was very proud of happening. And you have things, you have steps like these, but things always seem to get bent down by instances like this of sexual harassment. And it's just a problem in sports that needs to be fixed. And it's not just, let's get rid of all the people sexually harassing. It's a thing with the sports. It's an environment where women are made to not feel as equal as men in these sports. And it is a huge issue that needs to be fixed. I don't know how to fix it, but just whatever you can, it needs to happen. So I'm going to break. After the break, with the limited time I have, let's start the first San Jose Sharks complaining minute of this new year. Thank you for listening to KCLU 88.1 FM. Never mind, computer doesn't want to work. Oops, I'm not supposed to say that. But, so, yeah, let's just talk about the San Jose Sharks now, you know. The San Jose Sharks are such an interesting team, because if you look at it, they have not been in San Jose since, you know, the beginning of this year. They had the short training camp. They start their season in Arizona. They have a good lead against the Coyotes, and then lose it, and then go to overtime, go to a shootout, eventually win the game. Then you have the game where they play badly against the Coyotes. Then you have a game where they play badly against the Blues. And then you have a game where they play good against the Blues up until overtime, get to a shootout, barely win then. So, I mean, you look at a team that's 2-2. They don't feel like a 2-2 team necessarily. But I will talk about that more after this break. Thank you for listening to 8 the Player, Not the Game on KCLU 88.1 FM. All right, welcome back. Now that we got the San Jose Sharks complaining minute out of the way, can I just start another complaining minute here? This complaining minute is about Ben Affleck, but not about who he is as a person. I don't have any problems with Ben Affleck. I mean, he's a good actor. People don't like how he played Batman, but I mean, he's a good person. Can I just say something, though? People need to leave him alone. I'm sorry, but you need to leave Ben Affleck alone. I just always see these pictures. It's every day. And I don't know. This man just gets iced coffee from Dunkin' and Munchkins, and he gets them delivered to his porch. He walks out, picks them up, and walks back in. That's all he does. And there's constantly photos of him, and there's constantly people talking about these photos of Ben Affleck getting Dunkin'. And I don't know if this is a blitz by Dunkin' or something. If so, kudos to their social media managers and people in charge of it, because it's great advertising for them. But still, leave Ben Affleck. I mean, I hate to say leave Ben Affleck alone, but give the man some privacy. He's going through a pretty gnarly breakup from what I hear. So, you know, just give him space, I think. It's the right option. Give the man space. That's all I want to say on this week's complaining minute. See what happens next week. But thank you for listening. Have a great rest of your very warm Thursday, funny enough. Weird to say that because I'm used to coming here very early in the morning, but it is warm now for some reason. So thank you for listening.